Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You buried the lead, City Limits.
And what was that?
Sure, it was a great game. Sure, we're going to talk about the AFC and the Steelers' place in it. A group called City Limits sang the national anthem, for God's sakes. I was flooded with texts and tweets and everything else. I mean, that was a miracle. Were you watching it?
So I was just getting done calling a volleyball game, PA announcing, and I keep getting these texts, and they're like, and messages, great job singing the anthem. And I'm like, I didn't sing the anthem tonight. What are they talking about? And then I see a picture that our guy Nate tweeted at us. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There I was. Oh, say, can you see?
There they were. City Limits with a Z, I believe.
With a
right?
Z. And I think not even an S, I don't think, was included in the cities, any City Limits portion of that.
I couldn't believe it. I had to go back and watch it. It was a wonderful rendition, and you got to get on that bandwagon. Are they really famous or something? I've never heard of them. You're named what you are because of the show,
right?
Austin City Limits. That's why you were bestowed the nickname.
I had no idea that they existed. I guess they were a group that did really well on America's Got Talent.
Yeah,
and I think that we should find a way to reach out to the City Limits group.
Yes.
And have them do a
yes.
song for us. Or we just play one of their songs.
Listen, if you can do this today, reach out to the group. We still need, we've gotten some nice local music.
Yes.
But much like the Tony Kornheiser podcast, which works its way around all the rules about playing popular music with soliciting bands to play their own music.
Yes.
You need to contact City Limits. Say, hello, City Limits. This
I'm
is City Limits.
City Limits.
And get them to play a theme song for us. It would be unbelievable with our names in it.
Now, do you think that City Limits has, not me, but the group has become so popular now that they're singing the national anthem on Monday Night Football that they might ghost your friend City Limits?
Absolutely not. Explain to them what kind of ratings we're getting, that we're in a wonderful market here, that our signal stretches limits. I was getting this all the way to Erie. Do you know that?
Yeah, when I drive up and do games at Allegheny, I still have the signal.
And then going south, I get the signal all the way to Morgantown. So you just explain to them what kind of reach we actually have, and we're going to have City Limits doing our theme song.
The City Limits impact, I mean, it's worldwide now, Joe.
It was the biggest story in the NFL last night.
Fully agree.
Actually, it was Jacksonville and Kansas City. And it was, let's start with this for a second here, before we get into the Steelers' place in this story. That was one of the greatest quarterback runs in history. I mean, I think of Steve Young's magical run. Michael Vick had a bunch of them. I think of RG3 going 75 yards down the left sideline. I think of Randall Cunningham. I think of all kinds of great quarterback runs. This one was like 1 yard, but I've never seen anything like it. Trevor Lawrence falls. Somebody steps, is the center, steps on his foot. And then he tries to get back up. I've fallen and I can't get up. He couldn't get up on the second try. And then for some odd reason, fluke, I guess, nobody was near him, really. The left tackle buried somebody. And then he breaks a tackle and gets into the end zone. While Chris Jones, did you see this? The highlight, the video of him?
Yeah, very tough night for Chris Jones on that play, at least.
He literally just stood there unblocked and watched the whole thing happen. Now, maybe his assignment was, you know, to hold your spot there and don't move. Don't even move a muscle. Just stand there and watch the play. I guess that might have been his assignment. That was a really bad look for him. But what a great play by Lawrence. What a great and unique play. I've never seen anything like that in that situation. Have you?
Well, the only thing that was comparable to that is when Detroit did like a fake stumble when Jared Goff acted like he was stepped on and faked the handoff to Gibbs and ended up throwing a touchdown pass. This was a real stumble. Trevor Lawrence fell multiple times. It's not like he just fell down and immediately jumped back up. He stumbled again. And the pressure didn't collapse in on him. I was like, oh my, you have no timeouts, 30 seconds. This is going to be a disaster for Jacksonville. This is going to be the old Jacksonville Jaguars.
I was happy for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're this little tiny market. I think they're the 32nd, biggest market in the league. They're just the little Jacksonville Jaguars. I feel better about the NFL when Jacksonville is good for some reason. I don't know why.
Except when Leonard Fournette and Blake Bortles are dominating you in a playoff game.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You feel that good about that one.
I think it's a better league when you're only as good as your weakest link. Is that what they say, Limits?
Yes.
Is that how the saying goes? I think it's a better NFL when the little Jacksonville Jaguars are good and interesting. I thought Trevor Lawrence would be an MVP candidate a couple years ago. Looks like he might be that. He might be. Their defense stinks. And here's the bigger story. Even though the Chiefs lost, I was extremely rageful watching them again, and I can still picture them hosting the AFC title game. How do I come to that conclusion from watching that? I don't know. I just did. Their annoying little peck away offense with Patrick Mahomes, who you just want to slug, don't you? Him arguing for that, and Travis Kelce too. You just want to wind up and punch not that it would do anything. If I wound up and punched Travis Kelce as hard as I could, anywhere on his body, he wouldn't even feel it. He wouldn't even feel it.
Just avoid a Mark Sanchez situation at any point, please.
Yeah,
how bad has that gotten, man?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What was he on? What was he doing?
I don't know. But it's
like I asked Pomp yesterday. It's like there's an inner Hannibal Lecter in that guy.
It turned into a felony now.
It's crazy. But anyway, for me, the big takeaway last night was, oh my God, are the Chiefs inevitable again? Are they going to host the AFC title? I realize they're 2-3 and they lost. This was bound to happen. They won so many ridiculous games last year. I saw a stat this morning. They were 11-0 in one-score games last year. They're 0-3 in one-score games this year, but they've gotten healthier. And from what I can see, Mahomes is still Mahomes. Their defense gave up that final drive. Some great throws by Trevor Lawrence. Just great. The one to Thomas down the right sideline that really kicked that drive into motion. Some people might have looked at that game and seen further evidence of the demise of the Chiefs. I saw the opposite. I texted our friend Donnie Football. You remember him, Limits, yes?
Well, very wonderful man. I texted him this morning.
In the middle of the game and said, this is all just adding up to the Chiefs hosting another AFC title game, isn't it? And if it doesn't add up to that, Limits, the Chiefs are going to be something to contend with. They're making the playoffs. And Mahomes looks really good. I thought he looked great last night. He made a terrible throw at the goal line. How often is that going to happen? It was a great play by Lloyd. I'm feeling like the Chiefs are going to be there again at the end in the AFC. And it makes me want to break things. It really does. It makes me want to break a lot of things. I can't stand them. And watching that game, I could picture it. But anyway, the moral of this whole story is the AFC. And here's how I look at the Steelers' place in it. Like last year and for the past several years, I phrase it this way in my own mind, Limits. Can I picture the Steelers in any scenario? Let's go to last year. Beating the Ravens or Bills or Chiefs when it matters, it's not even fathomable.
No, it didn't happen. They played those teams.
Right. It wasn't last year. And for the last several, could they beat, a few years back, are they going to beat Joe Burrow in a game that matters with Chase and Higgins and what was then a pretty good Bengals defense? No, it's unimaginable. Not going to beat Josh Allen and the Bills when it counts, or Lamar and the Ravens, and sure as hell not Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Well, guess what? That's changed. I don't even know how much I like the Steelers right now. I think they're better than I thought they would be, but that doesn't mean they're great. My God, they have a minus point differential and they're leading their division. However, I could picture them beating anybody. New England is better than Buffalo. You mark my words on that. The Patriots are better than the Bills. And Drake May, I was going to say, is going to be a star. He might already be a star. If he doesn't keep dropping the ball against the Steelers, he carved them up. And then he carved up the Bills in Buffalo. But the Steelers beat the Patriots. Of course, I could picture them winning again against them. I could absolutely picture the Steelers beating the Bills. In fact, I think they will beat them in Pittsburgh later this season. The Bills have problems. This is like the fourth or fifth best team around Josh Allen. Their defense stinks. They have no receiver that anybody would think about double teaming. They have problems. They struggled with the Saints at home. It looked well into the fourth quarter like they were going to lose that game. Point being, I can finally see a scenario, and it's not all that implausible, where I could see the Steelers beating the Bills, could beat the Patriots. The Ravens, my God, they're gasping for life at the moment. They're about to drop to 1-5 if they lose to the, how many 1-5 teams in the history of the league have made the playoffs? Can you look that up on Google right now? Have any teams 1-5 made the playoffs in NFL history in the Super Bowl era? Probably a few, but not many. Look that up, please, Limits.
Only four. The 1988 San Diego Chargers, the 95 Detroit Lions, the 08 Packers, and your 2020 Washington football team that beat the Steelers. Remember that team, the 11-0 Steelers?
The 11-0 Steelers. That team had a great defensive line and Alex Smith. Good old Smitty at quarterback. Okay.
Chase Young defensively.
Yeah. So that team, I'm trying to think back to who else they had. Remember that night they came to Pittsburgh? It was a weird COVID year. The Steelers were 11-0, and they beat them that night, which was unbelievable. That was the demise of the Steelers. Incredible. What was I just going to say, Limits? Oh. So they would really be bucking history. So the Ravens, to me, aren't even on the radar right now. And I appreciate the fact that Patrick Queen is issuing warnings about the Ravens, you know, that they could come back. And they could. They get Lamar healthy, and he just wins all the time is what he does. But if you're 1-5 and you play some of the teams that they do the rest of the season, they're doomed. I think they're going to lose to the Rams. Do we have an early word on Lamar this week, Limits?
Not yet, but he didn't practice at all last week. And the initial interpretation of how long he would be out was 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to miss this week.
One of those is a bye week. They're going to lose to the Rams because the Rams at the moment are really good and Matthew Stafford is playing at an MVP level. Okay, then they get the Bears at home coming out of the bye week. Then they go into Miami. Okay, all right, let's say a couple wins. Good for them. They're up to 3-5. Then they go into Minnesota. They go into Cleveland, which is no guarantee the way that Cleveland plays defense. Then they beat the Jets. Then they have Cincinnati at home. Okay, so they may start creeping back toward 500. But they finish the season with 2 games against the Steelers, plus New England, plus at Green Bay. So you get up to 5 losses. It's going to be really hard to avoid 8. You know what I mean? The best I see the Ravens right now is 9-8. I think 10 wins might win the division, but I want to get back to my main point. Of course, I can see the Steelers beating the Ravens. That's imaginable. Everybody's beating the Ravens. They're killing them. The Colts and the Jags? I mean, those are two pretty good teams right now. Two vastly improved teams. I'm not sure Houston's not still the best team in that division. I think that it may bear out that way. But could I picture the Steelers beating any of them? Of course I could. I could picture anybody beating any of them. Then you have the Chargers, who have suddenly lost two in a row and have major injury problems. The Broncos, who are 3-2 and I think might be the best team in the AFC. And the Chiefs. I can picture the Steelers beating any of them. It's suddenly imaginable that they can not only win a playoff game, but as Bob Pompiani suggested before the season, get to the AFC title game. I'm not predicting it. It's really not so much about the Steelers, what I'm saying, as about the landscape of the AFC. Things have changed dramatically. The Bills have had some great teams with Josh Allen. They've had teams with really stout defenses, although they can never stop Mahomes when it mattered. And Stephon Diggs as a receiver, they now have a team where nobody would dream of double teaming any one of their pass rushers or any one of their receivers. It's not a good roster. I explained about the Ravens, and then out west, you got some problems maybe. But you don't have a juggernaut. You don't have anything close to that in the AFC. We thought we had three borderline great teams with the rest of them chasing those three. That was Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City. That's been blown up. That doesn't exist anymore. And I think that's very, very encouraging for the Steelers and their fans. 412-928-9370, 928-9370 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. And here's the related topic that I came here to talk about, O City Limits. That's Aaron Rodgers. And Pro Football Focus versus My Eyes is the matchup right now. They have him as one of the worst, if not the worst, quarterbacks in the league right now. Am I right about that?
Yeah, with a grade of 50.4.
That's insane. And I'm a Pro Football Focus fan. And also, I think in QBR, which is the ESPN metric, he's down pretty low in that as well. And I want to start by saying I am a Pro Football Focus fan because they went and tried to measure things in football that had never been measured before. And I appreciate that. And I think a lot of the stuff they do is great. And they've had some very good people doing it. Bobby Slovic worked for them, didn't he? Limits. Bruce Gradkowski has worked for them. They've had really smart people doing stuff for them. Doesn't mean I agree with everything that they say or do. In fact, I vehemently disagree with some of it. But that's, you know, part of the reason they exist. It's to generate discussion, to give us a different point of view. But this is embarrassing, their take on Aaron Rodgers. It really is. They have him as one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And I saw a piece that they wrote after the Vikings game. And it basically intimated that the Steelers are winning in spite of Aaron Rodgers. The exact line was, quote, the Steelers are winning despite needing little from their quarterback. And they accentuate the short throws that he makes. And his depth of target is very low in the league. And also his quick release time. Those two things make them believe that the Steelers are winning in spite of him, largely. But what they totally ignore, and what's so obvious, and maybe what they can't quantify, in their obsession with metrics, is that this guy is working around a leaky offensive line that nearly got him killed in the first few weeks, the lack of a consistent run game, and no receiver other than DK Metcalf in terms of wide receivers. So my question for them would be, A, what the hell do you want him to do? And B, do you really think he's played poorly within those parameters? What are you watching? I think Aaron Rodgers has been better than I thought. I thought he was going to be basically last season Ben. And last season Ben was pretty good. He was good enough to win some games, and he was playing with a huge impediment by the name of Kendrick Green, a rookie center who had no idea what he was doing and was getting knocked into the backfield on a lot of plays. You can't survive like that. I think Ben had 22 touchdowns and 10 picks. I would hate to see Aaron Rodgers behind Kendrick Green. So I would still say this is similar to last season, Ben, but probably a little bit better. I think that Rodgers has been a little bit better. I'd give him a B-plus so far. Game one, he was spectacular, although I think PFF didn't have a great game, a great grade for him in game one against the Jets. He was 22 of 30. I think 230 yards, four touchdowns, and no picks with a brand new team in the first game. I mean, I don't care if it was with a veteran team in his last game. That's a great performance. They didn't give him a great grade. Second game against Seattle was not great. However, one of the stats that I like from Pro Football Focus is turnover-worthy plays that they charge against a quarterback. In other words, I throw a terrible pass and they drop it. They drop a pick. Well, that's a demerit for me. Fair enough, and that's one of the things I like about PFF. Well, what about in that game? Does Rodgers get a touchdown-worthy play because he threw a ball to Pat Freiermuth in the back of the end zone? It was a great throw and was going to be a touchdown, assuming Freiermuth caught it. Except Calvin Austin broke it up by making a boneheaded play in the end zone. But still, that game, not good. The two games since then, I think he's played very well. Nothing spectacular, but given the parameters of what he's working in, it's really good football. It's winning football. He did enough early and late against the Patriots to win the game. The offense stunk in the middle. I will acknowledge that. And part of it, too, is not losing the game. He made winning plays. He's making brilliant throws when needed at the biggest times. Who could complain about his game against Minnesota?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not me. I mean, he completed like 81% of his passes, and there were a couple drops. PFF even acknowledged his adjusted completion percentage was 86% in that game. He's been accurate. I think of two plays when I think of Rodgers' pinpoint accuracy this season. And he's also thinking the game at a high level. And remember, he's working around no consistent run game, no consistent number two receiver, and no consistent offensive line. That's a lot working against you. And yet, if you look at breakdowns of the 80-yard touchdown in Dublin, and he's going against a mastermind defensive coordinator in Brian Flores, by the way, he read the play. He read the play. And delivered a pinpoint throw where Metcalf could simply take off like a sprinter with a baton in his hand. That throws slightly off. You don't have that. I think Metcalf leads the league or is close in yak yards after the catch. A lot of that's because of accurate passing. The other play I think of is Jaylen Warren with the big catch and run. Was that the Seattle game limits? I think it was. Broken play. Rodgers makes the adjustment, and then on the run, and Warren made a great adjustment too. Then on the run, delivers sort of an off-platform ball that is right on target to where his receiver can catch, turn, and run. Those are the kinds of plays he's making. He's thinking the game right, and he's winning the games. He's making winning plays. I'd give him a B+. He's been better than I thought. I'd love to hear from you on that. I don't know what Pro Football Focus is really looking at. It seems like they're ignoring so much. And again, I'm not saying that this has been a spectacular pass game. Nobody would say that. But my God, how can you ignore the things, the impediments that are around Aaron Rodgers? They're very significant. I also think, as PFF points out, that at some point, the Steelers are going to have to have more of an explosive downfield pass game to get where they want to go. There is no doubt about that. But in order to execute that, you need to hold the ball longer, and you're probably going to need more than one guy who can get down the field and make plays. Calvin Austin's made a few, but they don't really have a reliable number two. Now he's gone. So I'm not sure that that's going to happen. I agree that it needs to eventually. But in the meantime, this guy has been their offensive MVP, and I think he's playing really good football. Do you agree or disagree? At 412-928-9370. It's clearly not the Aaron Rodgers in his prime, mostly because he can't move around anymore, or at least not like he used to. Not even close. There have been a couple times this year where he's got a first down wide open in front of him, and he just can't get there. It's like driving around in this town. I remember this when I first moved here in 89. Like, oh yeah, I see that high school over there. There it is. How do I get there? I'm on a bridge right now. I see the place. I just can't get there. That's like Aaron Rodgers with a first down marker these days. He can't really move around anymore. But by and large, if you would have told me that this would be all his numbers and watching the games about a quarter of a way into the season, I would be very satisfied with the way he's playing. Are you at 928-9370? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Limits, what grade would you give Aaron Rodgers so far this season?
I would give Aaron a B+. I have been pleased with what I have seen from him, and I wanted him to be here. I thought he would be good. He's been better than what I even expected him to be. He's brought a calming presence to the offense. I'm glad that they're allowing him to audible at the line of scrimmage. And I don't care what PFF's numbers say, he's made big plays and big moments for them when they've needed him to.
Exactly.
And he's taken care of the ball, especially the red zone. They've been great in the red zone this year.
Right. That's another key point. Is that he is engineering smartly a red zone offense. They had a couple hiccups against Minnesota, but a red zone offense that is radically improved from being one of the worst. Was it the worst in the league last year? One of the worst in the NFL last season. Overall, man, I don't know how much more you could expect to see from Aaron Rodgers so far, given the impediments. He was 18 for 22 for 199 yards and a touchdown against the Vikings. I thought he was damn good. Now he fumbled. He did. And then they recovered. The Steelers recovered. Okay. I can live with something like that once in a while. He's hardly been a turnover machine. Here's the other thing, too, about the Steelers that I've noticed. And I was back home watching the game with my family from Ireland. They're fun. They're fun to watch. My brother said they look like they're having tons of fun at the game in Ireland. And I think Rodgers is part of that. He's got what they called in the book Generation X, pre-quitting elation. Of course, that was for jobs like the ones I used to work in Buffalo, where I was a pizza cook. And when I knew I was going to quit, probably just not show up on Friday and never show up again. Damn, on Thursday, I felt great at that job. I was giddy as could be slinging those pizzas around. I think he's got some of that. I've done everything there is to do in this league. I want to go out the right way and I'm going to have fun. You know what I mean? And you can feel it watching him. The way he when he did fumble, Remember when he fumbled, he celebrated and laughed on the ground when a teammate recovered it. There's just a vibe of fun around him, around Tomlin, around the whole team. They're doing the Irish jig when they score a touchdown. You had Jalen Ramsey faking the injury. Of course, he did get injured later on his fumble return. You just have this feeling that, I don't know if I want to call it nothing to lose, because there's always something to lose in the NFL, but like almost like a last dance mentality for them, where what do we have to lose here? Let's just go out and enjoy the hell out of this. We're probably only going to be in this current incarnation together for 1 year. So let's enjoy it. And believe me, it leaps off the television screen when you're watching it. Not in Pittsburgh. It really did. That game in Ireland was just flat out fun. So I think they're becoming a fun team to follow and to watch. And I think Rodgers is a big part of that. Limits, do you know what I'm getting at? Am I articulating that properly?
No, I think you are. And I think that that gives you a better chance, a better opportunity when you play some of these teams that might not have a strong defense like Buffalo and has some weaknesses, or a Kansas City team that has shown flaws in one-score games, where last year they were, like 9-0 in one-score games?
11-0.
Yeah, and they're 0-3 this year. So the Chargers look very beatable now after starting off.
Well, forget about how it translates. I'm talking about the simple act and fact of watching this team is an enjoyable exercise.
Yes.
They seem like they're having fun. Skowronek was dancing around. They clearly had the pre-planned Irish dances they were going to do in that game the other day. It's just a feeling. You know what I mean? And I think it starts with Rodgers.
Well, I think it does, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is just playing free. He's playing loose. He's brought a mentality to this team that there's some confidence, but is not turned into arrogance, unlike some of the Juan Thornhill stuff we saw in camp, claiming they were the best defense. You're really not seeing as much of that now.
I think that trickles down.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the opposite trickles down. I think Mitch Trubisky was like you could, because I think of what he's been through his whole career, starting in Chicago. You could feel just an extremely paranoid man out there.
Well, he was a man with something to prove. Rodgers is just trying to have one more go around. And sure, he does have something to prove that he can still play, but it's a completely different circumstance. And there's the confidence of being a Super Bowl champ.
And then there was Pickett. And the same thing, as time started to go with him, he just exuded a man under severe pressure all the time. Plus a man who was dealing with Matt Canada as his offensive coordinator. And then by the end, even though he was young, it felt like there was just a bitterness because of what happened his final year. That wasn't fun. There was no fun there. There was no fun with Trubisky ever. You talk about the opposite of a guy who feels like he can just cut it loose and enjoy himself on a football field. Whatever the extreme furthest opposite of that is, there's Mitch Trubisky's photo. Maybe how much of that is his fault, I don't know. But he did not exude anything close to what Rodgers is. Russell Wilson was a robot. That's kind of what he did, just spewing out aphorisms left and right. It was fun for a little while, but when the competition got real, it wasn't fun anymore. Justin Fields was sort of like Trubisky in a way that you felt like, oh man, here's a broken man who just can't, maybe through no fault of his own, just is never able to let it loose. It's like Drew Allard disease at Penn State right now. Can somebody just please tell that kid, we believe in you? Go out and have fun and wing it around. And if the other team catches the ball, everybody's going to live. It's okay. You know, Fields, Trubisky play in handcuffs, both of them damaged from their time in Chicago. And maybe not very good. I don't know. Although Fields is playing good now, his team just stinks. Pickett the same. I mean, he wasn't allowed to play here, probably for good reason. And then Russell Wilson faded fast. And like I said, it felt like a robot out there. It feels different from the top now. It feels like you have a guy who has been there and done that, and is going to take you some places, and feels like one of the things we need to do around here is enjoy ourselves. Let's make this fun. Maybe I'm all wet on that one, Limits, but that's the vibe I'm getting at 412-928-9370. The Rodgers experience has been different than I thought and pretty darn good so far. And Pro Football Focus is just out of its mind. It can't quanti- it's not built to quantify any of the things that we're talking about here, I don't think. Maybe some of them, but not all of them. I mean, come on. You have to factor in that the reason the guy's getting rid of the ball like it's a hand grenade is because he's going to get killed if he doesn't. He can't move, and his offensive line stunk the first couple weeks. They had to adjust.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits, I wanted to, before we move on here, express my just heartfelt thank yous to everybody who tweeted me and texted me. Mentioned yesterday that I was out for a while, in and out, and then out for a while because both my parents passed 6 days apart of natural causes, age right about 93 for both of them. And it was just crazy, almost like they couldn't live with each other. And it was obviously heartbreaking because you're never going to see them again. That's the thing that sets in. But I didn't consider it tragic by any means. It was the long, fruitful, wonderful lives. I just wanted to thank everybody, really. There's so many texts and tweets and emails. And one that just really hit me came during the break. I got a text from Derek Shelton.
Oh, wow.
And I just really, really appreciate that. Said, I hope you're doing okay, and condolences and thoughts and things like that. I mean, toward the end, like everybody, I was very critical. And that's, you know, part of what this job calls for. And sometimes you forget that everybody's a human being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With families, like, you know, Mike Tomlin, we're critical of him. He has, everything that I know of him and have heard of him is he's a really good man, right? And he's been a good football coach too.
Yeah, I've ripped James Franklin to shreds and have asked for him to be fired, but I've had good interactions whenever I've had press conferences and interviews with him. He's a good guy.
That's another thing I thought about the other day is James Franklin after the game, seeing his daughter run out onto the field when he was staring out at the field at UCLA and hugging him. You know, there's a human side behind all of this that I think sometimes I lose track of. I think a lot of us do, but I'll just speak for myself. There is that part. You can't let it, I can't let it sort of, you know, sway me in what I say or what I write. But that just really just hit me that I got that note from Derek Shelton. That just hit me.
That was really nice of him to send that over. And for all of our listeners too, every day that when we're on from 10 to 2, it's like the family all comes together, you know? That's what it feels like for me whenever I see the people who text us and tweet us and call in, and so many people that are frequent that you start to get to know, callers that call in, I have conversations with before we put them on over the air. It's got a really nice homey feeling to it, and I'm glad that a lot of people are able to express that and share that with you.
Me too. Me too. And some of the stuff that happened or some of the notes I received, a lot of them, actually, I was just reading them all to my wife last night. It was cathartic. And Colin Dunlap, I don't know if you saw what he did. He did a wonderful thing on the AM side here where he basically read the obituary. I think it was from a newspaper in Fredonia, which is where my mom passed. and did a tribute to them without ever having met them. And I played that for my whole family too. That was just incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, so I really appreciate that. And again, a lot of times in this business, it can be a fine line, as Bill Cowher used to say, walking the human side and then the I'm doing my job side, which is to be, call it like I see it part. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw Colin post that on Twitter. I read the whole thing when I got home yesterday, and all that it basically said confirmed what we already know, that your parents raised a great man that I get a chance to work with every day, and you have a hell of a family, Joe. And
likewise,
your parents are very proud of you. I never got the chance to meet them, the honor to, but I know they're damn proud.
Well, thank you. And likewise, and one other thing that happened was it 10 years ago now? Close to it, anyway, that Chris Muller, Sean Gentile, who comes on the show a lot, we know him from The Athletic, Craig Riley, our boss, his wife Rachel, and I can't remember if one or two of their children came on a trip to Buffalo. We did shows from Buffalo at one point. I don't remember if it was in advance of a Bills Steeler game, but they all came over to the house for Duff's Chicken Wings and Bocce's Pizza, where I used to work. And my parents never forgot that. Like, they didn't have to all come over. They could have gone out to dinner. They had small children. Craig and Rachel did. They didn't have to come over, Mulsey, but they did. They all came over to the house. We had a big meal. They, you know, were all interacting with my parents. My parents never forgot that. And so it's those little things along the way, those little gestures. And I also never forget that my daughter was unbelievably bored during the shows. It was at a big sports bar, and Sean Gentile took the time. She was like six to go play bubble hockey with her and stuff like that. It's just these little things that you don't realize it when they're happening that mean a lot, you know? They
matter.
Do.
The little things do matter.
True. Yes.
Sometimes more than the big things.
Yes. Anyway, I don't know why that, like, sometimes you just run out of emotions after stuff like this, but that text I just got from Shelty just knocked me for a loop. Anyway, where were we? Limits.
We were talking about the confidence level of Aaron Rodgers right now and how he's
right.
Leading these 3-1 Steelers.
Yes.
We have some people that would like to chime in.
I give him a B+ so far. You?
Yeah, B+.
Same thing. And I think two things. One, that Pro Football Focus has been unfair in their rating of him ignoring obvious impediments. And two, I really believe there's something to the energy that he's providing from the top. This loose, sort of carefree, fun, let's just go out there and play. What do we have to lose? I'm not saying he's saying that, but I'm translating it as, what do the Steelers have to lose? Another playoff game by 3 touchdowns? Let's go here. What difference does it make at this point? For him, none. He might be on his final ride, and he's going to enjoy it. And as the leader, that permeates the team. I truly believe that, and I believe the opposite has happened when other quarterbacks here, perhaps through little fault of their own, or perhaps through some, I don't know, exuded the exact opposite. Pickett by the end here, a broken man. Trubisky, broken in Chicago. Fields, maybe broken in Chicago. Russell Wilson, robotic. It just didn't feel this way coming down from the top. And with Rodgers, it does. I think there's something to that. I'll get to a call in a minute. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 Peters Township. Cloudy today with a high of Ernie Stautner 70. A low of Steve Furness 64. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Limits, and I reiterate too that the band that played the national anthem last night in Jacksonville before the game was called City Limits with a Z, which was really a high point for this show, over the last many months.
We're going to need the PA guy that announces, here to perform our national anthem, City Limits. Oh, we're going to need a drop of that.
Can we do that here? Can they get City Limits to play at Acroshore?
Man, would that bring the house down?
Okay, I'm looking up the City Limits. Here it is. About us. City Limits Band PR Team. And you have to get them to write and sing our theme song, okay? Chattanooga trio City Limits will sing the national anthem before the Monday's Jags-Chiefs game. It's made up of three brothers from a musical family. We got to do this. They're from Dayton, Ohio, for God's sake.
Wow, that fits perfectly.
No, that's an old band called City Limits. I'm sorry.
There's multiple City Limits bands?
Yes! This is about a band. Now I'm reading a story about a band called City Limits from Dayton, Ohio, who released a 45 in 1968.
The legend grows.
Ron was there covering the release of that 45. This is incredible. All right, who do we got?
All right, here's our friend Donald that likes to tweet at us all the time and is not a Drew Auer believer.
What's up, Donald?
Hey, Joe. Glad to have you back.
Thanks, man.
Everything as I said, parents would be proud and should be proud. And my condolences.
I appreciate it.
So real quick on the Jags. I like the Jags in terms of the AFC. They're plucky, which is a word from APL. They could have rolled over last night after the Chiefs scored late, and they didn't.
That was an impressive performance. And early. They were down 14-0. You're right. Early and late when they had Lawrence throws a pick in his own red zone and then fumbles at the goal line, and they overcame all that. They're an interesting team to watch, but go ahead.
Interesting is a good one. But in terms of, good word, I should say, Rodgers, for me it's more cerebral when it comes to the offense.
Yeah.
And it's comforting. Like every time he walks to the line, it's like, okay, he's going to make the right decision. Would you feel that way about Russ last year? I mean, I wouldn't, you know, and so it's more of a feeling of he's going to make the good play rather than, oh, God, what's going to happen?
Or
it feels like
that's a great observation. Comforting is a good word, or at least not make the bad play. I agree with you.
Yeah, especially in the red zone. And then last thing is, I think the players gravitate towards him, you know, while Russ kind of like push them away. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's the best word, but it's almost like they stayed away from him while they're trying to gather around Rodgers and his mind and his personality.
Good observations, and thank you for the call. One more, Limits, before we head into Nick Faribault coming up next.
All right, let's go to John. He's in the car.
Hey, John.
Hey, Joe. My condolences also. But their past will never go away. You always have them in their heart. I have to admit that I was not a fan of signing Aaron Rodgers because I thought he was washed up, you know. But I give him at least a B+, you know, because I think the difference is he's playing with house money. How many 42-year-old quarterbacks are there in the league? He's the only one. So, you know, it wasn't his first fumble. It's not going to be his first interception. And he's just having fun, and that's kind of cool, you know. You know, guys have that. Sometimes you can see that they don't feel that they're supposed to be there. So let's just play like it was high school, you know, and I think that's why he's playing.
Agreed, man, with every single syllable you just uttered. And I think that the cerebral part of the game has been really important, too. So far, so good. And like you, I thought he was close to being washed up. There was a game in Buffalo last year where he was god-awful. Maybe that was just a product of going against what was then a very good Buffalo team and a very horrible Jets team. I'm glad that he's better than I thought he'd be. I'm glad about that. And I'm glad that the Steelers have been really entertaining. That game, now I think that I gave Mike Tomlin and his staff a lot of credit because we all said, the whole football world said, Ben Roethlisberger said, they were at a coaching disadvantage going into that game, and they out-coached Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores. Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin did that. However, I also thought at the end, Tomlin played what should have been a double-digit point win into a one-score win. The end of the game was just ridiculous, how he kind of looked like got talked into going for a fourth down. Okay, so you have the swashbuckler mentality. But then when you have a fourth and one to actually seal the game, then you punt. Can you imagine if they had lost that game at the end? Limits? That game was done.
I would create a t-shirt that says living in your fears on it and wear it every single day for the rest of the week.
They got to find a way to get a yard when they need one, no matter what time of the game, no matter where they are on the field. And maybe that little Connor Hayward tush push is the listen, you have Mount Washington pushing you from behind there. That's a pretty good ingredient to have on that play.
Did you see the Jacksonville failed tush push play?
No.
Trevor Lawrence jumped over the line and fumbled the ball.
Was that a tush push or just a QB sneak?
It was a QB sneak, but they ran it like a tush push where they had somebody behind Lawrence intending to push him, but Lawrence instead tried to just jump up and extend the ball over the goal line like he was Cam Newton.
That was really, really close to a touchdown, too, and I was getting very angry at the referees. It looked like Mahomes talked them into not calling a pick play at the goal line. It looked like on that interception I talked about where Lawrence gave them the ball inside the 20 or thereabouts, it was obvious pass interference on the Chiefs. The guy leveled a receiver. So here we go again with the Chiefs.
Wasn't it nice to see pass interference called against the Chiefs, though? And holding called on the kickoff return. I was like, yes, finally, they're actually calling on them in big moments. This never happens.
Finally.
It's usually the other way around.
The Jets have the first pick right now, Limits.
They're going to take Arch Manning.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.